This is Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. In the aftermath of a factory collapse which killed 1,100 garment workers, the government of Bangladesh has drafted a new labor law. I talked to Jeffrey Vogt about the new law. Mr. Vogt is a legal advisor at the International Trade Union Confederation, the ITUC. I asked him what provisions were in the new law and how it differed from the existing law.
There is a new draft proposed legislation that is past the cabinet, but has not yet gone to the parliament of Bangladesh. A lot of people were very hopeful that this proposal would be far more ambitious than it is, especially given the international attention that is on the country right now. But if you take a careful look at it, the proposals really only address one of dozens of issues that have been raised by the ILO Committee of Experts on issues relating to freedom of association and collective bargaining, leaving all the others really untouched. There are a few provisions in there that touch on temporary work, seasonal work, even on health and safety, but it's not, I think, the sweeping reform that I think a lot of people had really expected.
The existing labor law allows for the creation of unions in the country's garment industry, but it's almost a union-free zone. What's the major problem facing unionization in Bangladesh's garment sector?
The existing law, from 2006 and still today, it provided that trade unions have a right to, workers have a right to form trade unions. The problem has been, one of the problems has been that the legislation required the Labor Department to turn over a list of the founding members of a union who turned in the registration application over to the employers. And in that case, the employers usually use that list as basically the dismissal list and got rid of all the union organizers or the founding members of the union. I mean, in a labor justice system that functioned, workers should have been able to walk into any court and say, look, we just submitted this application, our names went to the employer, and the employer fired all of us. It would be prima facie evidence of anti-union discrimination. But the system in Bangladesh has never worked such that any of these workers who are fired illegally were being reinstated. So I know in the last couple of weeks, the government has made a big deal about there's now a new right to form unions in the garment sector, but it's always been there. The only thing that is changing really with regard to these kind of, as I was mentioning, the ILO Committee of Experts comments on freedom of association is that this provision around labor ministry being required to turn over the list to the employers, that is gone now. But again, that provision really wouldn't have mattered so much if you had a legal system that could have reinstated those workers in the case of dismissal. So, what we do see and what's important is that there's essentially been a ban on the government registering unions in the garment sector and in others, but particularly in the garment sector. And they would get applications from unions and they would just sit on them, lose the application. They would send letters back, rejecting them for completely for reasons that aren't anywhere in the law. And in that way, kept the industry, nearly union free. Now, because of the international pressure, because the U.S. is threatening trade preferences, Europe is threatening trade preferences. The brands are really being pressured by unions and other anti-sweatshop, groups and activists. That the government is now doing what it should have been doing all along and registering these unions. But it has always been a question of political will. And now because they may potentially lose trade benefits that they're reversing course.
Will this new law help prevent accidents such as the disaster at the Rana Plaza where more than 1,000 workers were killed?
Well, there are a few new provisions in the law that require more safety equipment, more fire extinguishers, safety committees, which already were in the law but never were respected. So I think the new law, it's not so much a question of the new law, although these new provisions may certainly help. But the problem has been is that there's been almost no inspections, there are a variety of different agencies that are responsible for inspections that never coordinated. And so you had total chaos. And then you had, again, even some brands that had their own social auditors go in and do these inspections and either failed to notice these things or notice them, and the brands really didn't do much with that information. So I think there's still a lot of this could be done by better coordination and vigorous enforcement. I don't know that the law was so bereft of tools. It's just they were never used, really.
What responsibilities do the clothing brands have in all of this?
Well, certainly, I think one part of the discussion that really hasn't been had yet. I mean, there's this new building and fire safety accord, which industrial and uni a variety of NGOs were really instrumental in negotiating with. Now dozens of brands have signed on, and that's important. But I think we also need to take a look at the whole production model for the garment industry. I mean, as long as you're always going to require very fast turnaround times from the inputs being sent to Bangladesh and then being turned around for U.S. or European or other markets, and that the brands are squeezing each level down the chain more and more on price, you're going to cause violation of worker rights. I mean, it's obvious, but that discussion really isn't being had yet. I mean, it is among, I think, NGOs and unions, but it's not the model of the garment industry generally hasn't really been rethought. And I think that discussion needs to be had.
Walmart and Gap have refused to sign a fire and safety accord accepted by some 40 other companies. They say they will police the factories they work with themselves. Will this be effective?
No. I mean, I think we have ample evidence that self-policing has been a dangerous fraud. I think there was a report that the AFL-CIO in the United States recently put out called Responsibility Outsourced that looked at the way in which the social auditing industry has either failed to ensure that workers' rights are respected or in some cases participated in the suppression or the repression of those rights. So I think counting on Walmart or Gap to do their own auditing and being accountable only to themselves is a kind of recipe for disaster.